guess he'd had some other university training. But my dad got into medicine. We moved to the city when I was 15. And as a 15-year-old, I saw my family. They took us through that process. We fasted as a family. Now, at the time, I didn't really understand. At the time, I didn't really, you know, I sort of ate a bit of food. I wasn't really fasting. But I just look back, and I'm really thankful for the legacy my family left with me, where they followed God. My mum had so much trials and difficulties, and they followed God. My dad started medicine when I was 15. Within 6 months of being in the city, my mum contracted meningitis. No, firstly, she contracted a brain tumor. They operated on that. Then she contracted meningitis 3 months later. And I remember Christmas Day 1998, my mum went to hospital, went to a coma for 6 months. And, well, she didn't pass away, but she never came back. She became blind, she became crippled, and she became institutionalized in a home for 10 years until she passed away when I was 25 years old. And so I went from a very strict Christian home to, when I was 16, seeing my dad just look after my mum and I could just do whatever I wanted because my dad was so busy looking after my mum. And I say that because there was this trials that were in my life. But something happened that just was incredible. When I was 16, I really didn't want anything to do with God because of what I thought God had done to my mother. And at the time when I was in school, they didn't really have counselors in the same way. I think schools are incredible with the chaplains and people they have involved. Because when I was in school, I just sort of, no teacher really came and talked to me. I'm not blaming my school, but it was just different. And then one day, this elderly couple showed up at our doorstep with food. Their names were Pat and Leslie. They were just a lovely couple who experienced some kind of tragedy in their life. I think they'd lost a child, actually. And they'd experienced some just tragedy. You know, I think if you make it to 60s and 70s, my granddad's 90 now, he can tell stories. You know, the tragedies and just the life. Yeah, there's joy in that. There's joy, but the things that have happened, and they were people that had a lot of compassion. And you know what? They showed up. They were from a uniting church that weren't even connected to the church my family went to. And they showed up for 9 years, every single week. And I remember that as a 16-year-old. They became like my grandparents, like my Christian grandparents. And they were just incredible. They just invited us. And even when my mum passed away, the wake that was at Pat and Leslie's house. And so when we talk about today, we're going to look into the Bible. We're going to look at what does it mean for us to be comforted by God in our trials, in our suffering. We have to remember that a Christian perspective on trials and suffering is different to this world's perspective. That in this world that we have trials, trouble will come. Jesus said it. But in the future, we're going to be in heaven with God where there are no more tears, no more pain. But now we have trials. But we have a God that will comfort us through these trials. And sometimes we see that manifested in the lives of other Christians. And now here I am as a missionary. And by no means do I think I am an amazing person. Not at all. But I look back and the legacy my parents left me of seeing them seek God in their trials and then seeing Pat and Leslie show up with food every single week for years. They never met about us. They probably saw us in a prayer point in a church bulletin. And yet, they are some of the most instrumental people in my life in showing Jesus to me. Because other people came and went in that 9 years when my mum was sick, but they stayed firm. And I think about a faithful God, and I think about Pat and Leslie. And so I'm going to read this scripture to you, and then we'll pray. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11, my version is NIV. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort and salvation, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as we share in your sufferings, we also share in your comfort. We don't want to be uninformed, brothers and sisters. but the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our own ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he delivers us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in the answer to the prayers of many. Let's just pray before I start. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that you love us. I thank you for the stories of faithfulness in the lives of many people here who have just endured so much and yet love you still. Thank you for their testimony. I pray that Holy Spirit, that you would comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us today so that when we walk out of these doors, that we walk closer to you and we walk more and more in your will. Thank you for this church. Give the elders wisdom as they lead this church. May this church continue to be fixed on you. May they seek you first. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm a pretty simple person and I like points. So for those note takers out there, I'm just going to break today down into 4 points and I'll just explain them to you. So if you kind of want to take notes, you can. There is a lot more that you could talk about in this verse. So I don't want to get bogged down into the Greek. Well, I couldn't actually. I don't know the Greek. But I don't want to get bogged down into the details. I'm a missionary who actually hasn't really been to Bible college, but I just study God's word and I pray and I think God helps give insight to this. But I encourage you this week to maybe go home and meditate and to pray on this, and maybe God will speak to you more. But I want to talk about today, when we go through trials, tribulation, and suffering, what we need to remember as Christians. Because in this world, comfort is very different. The church is infected by our culture. I am infected by our culture, where we believe that if we experience something difficult, then we can become comfortable and we can get comfort. Comfort is like a reward, something we get at the end of the pain, whether that be dark chocolate, love it. It's amazing when you have a second kid how much more chocolate that we eat, or television, or Netflix, if you whatever it is, or going to Bali, whatever it is, we can start to believe what our culture says is that if you've done something tough, if you've done your time in working life, then you just get deserved to just be comfortable. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having a nice house, nice car, all these things. But we have to remember that the biblical concept of comfort is different. And when the Bible uses the word comfort, it means to strengthen and encourage. It's a lot more about getting through pain and difficulty than it's about getting a reward at the end. And this is when I talked about my mom. How did my mother have joy? I'm sure she had bad days. I'm sure she cried. And I didn't see it as a 15-year-old. But some people who suffer the most have the most joy, don't they? Why is that? I think it's because the source of their comfort is God. And so when we go through trials and suffering, whatever that is for you, we have to, number one, and I'll go through this in a minute, remember who God is. It's just the number one. We have to remember who God is, the God of faithfulness, and I'll go through detail. Number two, what Christ did. Number three, the trials of other Christians. And number four, we have to remember other Christians are praying. Very simple things that we probably already know intellectually, but for us to remember these in our trials. And so let's just start with who God is. In verses 3 and 4, interestingly, in verses 3 and 4, it starts with, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, this was a common greeting that they used, but it's really interesting. In 1 Corinthians, I don't know if you've read that, this church was in struggle. In this church, there was sexual immorality, there were divisions, there were complaints about the communion, there were complaints about all kinds of things. There was disunity. Again, you can go through it and you can see there's so many struggles in that church. In fact, if that was your church, you'd probably leave it to go find another church. Well, in this culture, many Christians would, because it was in disarray. What's really interesting is in 2 Corinthians. Paul writes this letter, and at the start, he says in verse 2, he says, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all God's holy people. Isn't that incredible? Paul writes to this church who has all kinds of problems that would end up on social media. And he says that they're God's holy people. And I think that's a really important standpoint when we even talk to the church and God's people. A lot of the problems occur in church because we don't view other people as God's holy people. That we really don't just view someone else as God's child. In Indonesia, I always tell them, if you're talking to Joko Wee is the president of Indonesia. He's a bit revered, probably you don't talk about politicians being revered here in the same way. If you talk against the president of Indonesia's child, you're probably going to have a problem. You're going to make the dad angry, aren't you? And so when we're talking about God's church, Paul here teaches us something. He teaches us how we should view God's people. Yes, there's divisions. Yes, there's conflict about communion, worship, whatever it be. And there's lots of things, but they're God's holy people. And what's also interesting about this is that Paul is writing out of the most intense suffering. We have to remember that the suffering that Paul talks about here is not our kind of suffering, it's persecution. And so when we look in the Bible, yes, we can draw conclusions in our life, but he's talking a lot about persecution, the sufferings that they're enduring for Christ. And it makes it more interesting that Paul writes this, and he begins with this, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort. And he says the Father of compassion. Another version says the Father of all mercies. And I think it's interesting he says that because as we view God, we have to remember that God is merciful to us. And there's a story. Someone said that there were two men that were decided to swim from Australia to Antarctica. They had no help at all. It's not a true story. It's an analogy. So they decided to swim. And one man, he was really ambitious. And he started swimming, and he was way ahead of the other man. And the other man started swimming. So the first man's way, way out in front. The second man's behind. The second man goes under, doesn't come back. First man keeps swimming, later on goes under and doesn't come back. Both of them don't make it to Antarctica. Now, why didn't they make it to Antarctica? Because it's impossible, humanly speaking. Doesn't matter how hard you try as a Christian. Doesn't matter what tie you wear. It doesn't matter how much you read the Bible. It doesn't matter what degree you have, it does matter what theology you have. But what I mean, those things don't make Jesus love you. These two men tried to do something that they couldn't do humanly possibly. God needed to intervene. And as Christians, we have to remember God is the God of compassion and the Father of all mercies to us. Ask my wife. I'm a broken, messed up person who needs Jesus. And when we talk about the gospel, we have to remember that the gospel is manifested in us. The amount of times we have to say sorry to our children teaches them the gospel at times. Because this is the gospel. I am a broken person in need of a holy God. God is merciful and forgives me. He is all compassionate. And then he is the source of all comfort. This is a hard one. He is the source of all comfort. Doesn't matter how much chocolate I eat. Doesn't matter what job I get. Doesn't matter what boat I buy, whatever. Nothing will strengthen and encourage me like God. And Paul writes to us from a place of suffering, yet a place of joy. And in this life, you can find joy. Not happiness, by the way. Joy is different. Joy is different. Doesn't mean you're going to like it, what you're enduring, but you can find joy in Jesus in your trials. Now, why do we go through some of this? Well, he says, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Now, I already talked about Pat and Leslie, that what they had experienced comforted me, strengthened me and my family. And then I am now sharing that to you, which comforts you and strengthens you. That so often as Christians, we look at our trials and we think, why is this happening to me? That's not the way the Bible teaches us to view suffering. And God is doing this in our life for a number of reasons. But one of them sometimes is so that we can comfort others. And many of you have experienced that. Some of you are experiencing trials right now and you can't see that. But I'm sure when we go to heaven, we'll meet with people and they say, thank you for saying that. You strengthened me, you enabled me to endure. There's a man, let's go through, Father of compassion, God of all comfort. The second one is what Christ did. In verse 5, it says, we share abundantly in his sufferings and our comfort abounds through Christ. Now, I've thought a lot about this, but essentially I think, in reading the commentaries and things, sharing in the sufferings of Christ is not just the persecution, but Christ, when he came, was human, and he just had all the limitations that we have. The suffering, the sickness, all those sorts of things. And we share in that. And as Christians, when we are persecuted or people don't like us or will exclude us, whether we're at school or in university because we're different, because we're Christians, we share in Christ's sufferings. But we share in his comfort. Jesus went through all that he went through, and yet God was with him. God comforted him. And so it's important in our sufferings that we start with God and then we remember Jesus in our sufferings. And let's look at verse 6 as the trials of other Christians. It says, small text. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and your salvation. If we're comforted, it's for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we've experienced in Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despair life itself. Indeed, we felt that we have received the sentence of death. I'm going to leave it there. There's a man. I'll show you this video very quickly. I want to talk to you about a man called Park James when this video ends. It's the trials of other Christians. Very quickly. It's a really remote village. It's 12 hours from the middle of nowhere. And a man named Pastor Jim, a pastor, moved there with a heart to reach that village. For 2 years, him and his wife were shunned and rejected by the community, but they lived there. No one invited them to their homes. They weren't. And they just prayed. And Pastor Jim, this Indonesian Christian man, just prayed. And he had such love for these people that didn't love him back. And after 2 years, the village chief started to invite him into the community. And after 3 years, we were able to open a Christian school, and then we connected to Pastor Jim. And after 4 years, we were just able to send 2 young men to that village. And I went there about a year ago, and I was able to stay in the bamboo home of the village chief's house. And it's just an amazing story where there's this village of about 100 people, but the youth group there has about 20 kids who are Christians. And generations of animism, and you name it. And God is breaking through the darkness. Why? Because Pastor Jim, in his trials and his sufferings, endured, and then other people were saved, received salvation because of that. And when we go through our trials and suffering, we have to remember, even in this scripture is talking about religious persecution. Our brothers and sisters in this world are experiencing religious persecution in a major way. Yes, in Australia, we might get shunned, or I think it's going to increase in Australia in different ways. But the physical persecution that they experience, even in places like Indonesia, in Iraq and Afghanistan, some of my brothers and sisters who moved from other countries, that we need to, as Christians, to remember them in our own trials. And I want to end with that point. And so one other, and this happens so that we can rely on God. And this, the scripture says, but this happens so that we can rely on God, not ourselves, God who raises the dead. In our trials and our suffering and our tribulations, all this happens so that we can rely on God. Listen, we've had our stories where we felt out of our comfort zone and God's come through. We had one time where Elijah swallowed some concrete in Indonesia, some powder, and at night was writhing, he was in pain. And we didn't know what to do. There was no doctors. And we just prayed for him and the pain went away. And there's a time where I got dengue fever and for 2 weeks I was really sick and God comforted and helped Felicity. And there was a time we had to move house and God comforts us in our trials, but we also have to remember the trials of others. Part of the time, if we in our own suffering only think about our own trials, our suffering is going to be worse. We have to remember the trials, particularly Christians. And the final point is that other Christians are praying. In the last verse, it says, as you helped us by your prayers, many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted in the prayers of many. It's such a testimony to know that many people are praying. My mum prayed for me from when I was born to when I was 15. I didn't become a Christian until I was about 17. Many of you prayed for your grandkids, prayed for your kids. Keep praying. We have to remember that other people are praying for us, and prayer is powerful and effective. You praying is just as important as us being in Indonesia. One story before I close. In Indonesia, we got a text message from a young man, a graduate from Transformation who was teaching in Papua. He'd been going out on his weekends evangelizing in some of the Muslim villages in Papua. Because I don't know if you know, but in Papua, which is next door to Papua New Guinea, it's pushing 50% Muslim. It's growing in its Muslim presence in that place. And this young man was bold and with the church was going out and evangelizing in Muslim villages. And in these Muslim villages, they discovered there were around 28, 27 young men that wanted to become Christians. But the imam, the religious Islamic leader in that area, didn't want it to happen. And he was threatening to shun and shame these young men and women. Imagine, for those in the God Squad here, it's like someone coming to you to say, you know what, you can be a Christian, but you can't live with your parents. You can't live with your grandparents. You can be a Christian, but just don't ever go home. You're not welcome in this suburb again. And that's what these young men and women who were around 17 to 20 on faced. And so we got a text message through Facebook from this young man, Xavier, who was involved in evangelizing, saying, please pray. And we sent a text message out to like about 1,000 people in the world from Australia. Some of you might support us. You might have got that text message. And people just prayed. People fasted. And something miraculous happened. Xavier said he went back to that village and he baptized 28 young men. And the imam did nothing. What happened? Who knows? I believe that maybe God just changed the mind of that imam. In the same way maybe God changed Pharaoh's mind. That God did something through the prayers of those 1,000 people. And God did something far more than anyone on the ground did. Because they were above the ground. They were praying to God and God intervened. And so we have to remember our prayer is powerful and effective and God is doing things. In your trials and your tribulations, remember who God is. Remember what Jesus did on the cross. Remember that other Christians are suffering. And keep praying. And remember that other people are praying for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for this church. I pray that you would keep Christ as the center of this church. I pray that even as we partake in communion, that if there are divisions, if there are conflict, if there are things going on in this church, that your Holy Spirit would move and you would cause people to repent. And Lord Jesus, you would fill people with your love and that they would reconcile. And I pray that, Lord Jesus, your will would occur in this church beyond any personal agenda, that your will be done. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you for Jesus. We pray for our brothers and sisters all around the world who are suffering. And we pray that you would comfort them. Help us to keep praying, to not fall asleep, to stand firm. And so that one day when we go to heaven, we'll see more people who know you and we will know that we live close to you on this earth. In your name, Jesus. Amen.